Second session now, and I'm just going to open quickly with a word of prayer, and then we're going to start up right there in Acts chapter 4. I'm going to use one verse out of there, and I'm going to take it off from there. But the second session, we're going to be also using the book as a guide a little bit, Lesson 8. I'm talking about some of the fears that will stop folks from witnessing. And the two main reasons I feel, according to what we say in the book, what keeps people from witnessing, two main reasons. So let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you for your word. Lord, I just thank you for a good, enthusiastic crowd that's interested in sharing the gospel with people. Lord, take these next two sessions, Lord, and make them prosperous. Talk through us, Lord. Use our lips to speak your words today, Lord. And let this remain doctrinally sound and based upon your book. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Some of the steps, and you know, one of my favorite parts, and I'm only using this as a stepping stool to get out here. I may step up a little, stand up a little bit, and I'm not preaching, you know, still same thing goes. If you have a question or comment, raise your hand, please. In chapter 4, we see where the apostles get arrested. And they're brought before the Sanhedrin, and there's a big uproar going out there. Folks are getting saved, and there's a big movement among the people. And know what? The Sanhedrin is getting concerned because their livelihood and what they're following may be starting to decrease a little bit. This is a threat to them. Because they take the men out, and they put them up in front of the Sanhedrin, and finally, they tell Peter, don't speak anymore in this. They tell Peter and John, don't speak anymore in this man's name. All done. We're not going to punish you. They get a little strike, and they scourge him a bit and send him back out. But we won't bother you anymore. If all you just do is don't speak anymore in this man's name. Okay? He's dead. He's buried. He's gone. And the only response we have here as Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Okay, I was speaking with Judy down here. I was speaking with Dean a little bit. I said, we're going to have probably more rejection than we're going to have success in soul winning. Yeah, you're going to get people, you're going to get people to take it and probably just throw it up. But you know what, I'm a firm believer, when you take a Bible tract, scripture in there, somebody throws it in the garbage can. I've heard stories of people picking them up at a dump or whatever and getting saved off them. So wherever that goes, God has an intention for where that goes to. And so we cannot help but speak the things that you've seen and heard. And when we go and talk to folks, and great openings. Okay, great openings. It was just brought up a second ago. The t-shirt, talk about the t-shirt. I like to say, when I see people wearing baseball caps or a sports shirt or something like that, and I'll see them and I'll say, hey, you a Bruins fan? Are you a Celtics fan or something like that? It's an opening to get you in there to talk to someone. And always try to look for openings. This doesn't work very well. You know you're on your way to hell? Take this and read it and get saved. Okay, that doesn't work very well. Okay? It may have worked good in the 30s, 40s, maybe even the 50s in the Deep South. I don't know. It doesn't work very well today. Not out here in the United States of America. But you know what? There are things where you look for openings where people say things. I heard an evangelist say this a number of years back. He said he was in Florida and very, very hot day, up in the 90s. Pulls over, and this must have gone back a while. He pulled in the service station. It was back in the day where they checked your tire pressure and did your windows and checked your oil and all that stuff and pumped your gas. Guy comes out, cleaning the windows, does that, and he says to the evangelist, man, it's hotter than hell today. Right? So, opening. Right? So the evangelist, he goes, let me shake your hand. So the guy's looking at him like, let me shake your hand. He goes, you know what? A lot of folks in America don't believe in hell today. He goes, but it's real nice to meet a man who believes in hell. And from that point on, he had a chance to talk with him. You know, I take different Bible tracts when we go on the street, all kinds of different stuff. One of my favorite, I get this long one, it's called Beat the Odds. Right? If I see somebody with a Foxwood shirt on, Mohican Sun or something like that, I'll say, hey, you go to the casino, you go gamble, and not? They said, sure, guys. Hey, I got something for you. Right? This right here, these guys are going to tell you, you open up the first page, it says roulette, blackjack, all poker, all these things. It says, you go down there, follow the instructions here. They'll tell you how to beat all these games. Oh, thanks. But then they don't understand. When they get to the second page, and then the third page, it tells them the odds of not getting saved, you only get. Then it gives a nice gospel presentation. It was written by a guy named Bill Eubanks, who used to be a pit boss in like a major casino back in the 60s. Well, one day, he got saved. So he turned what he knew, and his occupation was, before he got saved, turned it into the gospel. Okay, I remember I had a kid who got saved through the Rock of Ages prison ministry one time, and he came to me, had about 2 weeks left in his sentence. He says, you know what, Deputy? He says, I've been here now. He goes, I got saved. I go to the discipleship classes. The men come in. We have service every week. I got my cellmate. He's a Christian. It's been great. Reading our Bibles all the time. We're praying together. Because I'm getting out in 10 days. So I'm really concerned about that. I'm going back to South Providence. He goes, I got friends that are all involved in drugs and gangs and this and that. I said, do something. Here's what I want you to do. Don't go back there and get involved in all their junk. When you go back and see these guys, tell them about the Lord. Okay? And stay with what the testimony you know now. If you stay with the Lord, one or two things will happen. They're either going to get saved and you're going to have good friends, or they're going to leave you alone. Okay? They're going to leave you alone. And, you know, once you get the movement, and I think Brian and Eric and Scott's not here, and Pastor James will agree. Once you get out there and you start to talk to people, that little hesitation you have to start off the day kind of like goes away. And then you get in the move of doing it. You're allowing the Spirit to work in you to go do it. And you're with a partner to do that with, and it gets fairly easy. But you know the first, and when you get somebody out there to do it, and that's why if you've never done this, go out and share the gospel with people. The first time you lead a soul to Christ, you're going to be hooked. Okay? And you get 100 rejections, but if you lead one person to Christ, you're going to be hooked. Now, if you haven't done it before, there's some reasons why. And you know what? You know the little fears we have sometimes? Like the fear of going to the dentist, or the fear of dark places, right? Don't we sometimes magnify them, right? I remember back in like the 1970s when that movie Jaws came out. I was afraid to jump in the swimming pool, right? Because you think, shark, but you know what? I think one of the most important things that people are worried about is arousing resentment in people. If we go up to somebody, remember I said in the previous session, we want to be friends with people, right? We like to talk to folks and be nice and let them and develop a decent relationship. And we're worried in people about arousing resentment in people. And maybe there's even the thing that somebody's going to throw something at you or try to hit you or stuff like that. Those are small. Most of the time, what do we get? If somebody doesn't want to be bothered, they'll say, no, thank you. Or they'll say, no, I don't want to hear it. And they'll walk off. That's basically the gist of it. We don't get a lot of verbal abuse. And if it does, it would be very, very rare. Assault, very, very rare. So even assault, who's with you? First session, who's with us? The Lord is always with us. Okay, and if we pray before we go out, so we're worried about upsetting people. You know what sometimes people are afraid of too? Making a spiritual approach. If you walk up to somebody on the street, and I said, you don't want to walk up and say, you're on your way to hell, take this and read it, because you do. Okay? Although it's true, but you don't want to just do that. You may walk up to someone and open up. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
And if you were to die today, do you know where you would go? Heaven or hell? Is that something that you have ever thought about? And let them chew on that for a minute. And they may say, you know, if they say, I know I'm a Christian, I'm a Bible-believing Christian, you say, amen, and you're on your way, you say, you know, hope to see you again or whatnot. But a lot of times folks say, I'm not sure. I thought about that, and you know, that was the first question that was hit to me. I remember, I'm aboard the USS Simon Bolivar, right? I'm sitting down, a kid named Carl Leopold, he's a fire control technician, second class, I sit down on my tray, he sits right across from me. He said, hey, Rick, how you doing? I said, good, Carl, I'm meeting you. Hey, let me ask you a question. He He said, if you were to die today, do you know where you'd go? So the first thing I thought about is, we're going to do something dangerous today? And then it hit me what he was trying to do. And I know what my answer to him was. Well, I'm a Roman Catholic. I'm all set on that. But these guys were persistent. You know, they were witness to me periodically. They always prayed for me. And several months down the road, I got saved. But when you do that, you approach someone, always be nice to them. Always try to do it. And you know what I always agree with, particularly if you talk with somebody you know at work. And there's a lady I led to the Lord at work over 20 years ago. And she was living with another woman. She was in a sinful relationship. An abomination to the Lord. And one day we're getting ready for work. And I was a lieutenant at the time. And she's got a newspaper out. And she's sitting there before a roll call. And she just looks at the paper. And she goes, boy, this world is in all kinds of trouble. I'm reading these stories. I said, yeah, it is. And right there, I started witnessing to her. And now it's time for roll call. So I got to be a good testimony. I got to have my roll call. I couldn't forsake the roll call to do this. So I'll tell you what. This is done, going on your calls, I'll come back and talk to you. We did that. I gave her four scripture verses that day. I said, have a Bible at home. She goes, well, my mother has a Catholic Bible. I said, well, go home tonight and get that Bible and read these verses. I gave her Romans Road. Romans 3:23, 3:10, 5:8, 10:13, 6:23. I said, go and take them. Next day, and all I said was, you take these and you just read those verses tonight. And I prayed that whole night and just prayed that God would work in her heart. I came back the next day. I never saw anybody so ready to be saved. Think of the situation she's in. I didn't do anything. All I did was give her scripture verses. I didn't twist her on. I didn't chase her down the halls. I said, take this and read this tonight. I'll talk to you about it tomorrow. She was so ready. She got saved that very next day, about 24 hours later. Next thing I know, we went to a baptism, remember she got saved. She moved out of that house with that girl, moved back in with her mother. God completely changed her life like that. You know why? Not because of me. Because of this book right here. Go ahead, Christine.
And I think it's interesting because I think you're missing a whole part about where your heart was at the time. You were picking and choosing who you wanted to witness to. And
do I have to bring that
she's
up?
Never going to be saved.
Do I have to say that part?
No.
Okay, I had forgot it. At that point in my life, it was like 1995, I was like looking at certain people. I said, you know what? He might be, or she might be a candidate to witness to. That's what I was doing. I was classifying people instead of looking at everybody as a lost soul and just going, God gives me opportunities. And I wasn't having any kind of success in that. You know, I'd be, try that person today. That man. And then God just opened that up. So it's looking for those doors that open and taking advantage of them when God provides them. Because I believe, you know, we think about an opportunity or a coincidence. There's no such thing as a coincidence. I call it a God incident. Okay, God is putting something there. And what you ought to have on your prayer list, what everybody ought to have on their prayer list and their prayer journal is, God, give me opportunity to share the gospel with somebody today, more than somebody today. Bring people across my path and open the door up so I will know that this is the opportunity. And we run across that. I have a friend, Carl Parker, a guy from our church. He's a cashier at Walmart right up in Brockton or somewhere. And he says, you know, sometimes time's right, sometimes it's not. But he uses his cash register. He's talking to people. And some guy came up to him and he had some kind of shirt for him to talk. And Carl just said out of the blue, he says, let me ask you a question. You know who God is? You know, the guy told him, he goes, yeah, Tom Brady. Right? I said, wow. I said, well, that's the answers you're going to get sometimes. Remember, you're dealing with a lost world. Okay? But he uses that as his pulpit, as his area to talk to folks. God gives us all different areas and different opportunities to talk to people. The fear of making the spiritual approach. What I tell people, especially if you get somebody new that wants to come out there and soul win with you, they may be a new Christian. They say, I don't know a lot about the Bible. Always reassure them, as I'm reassuring you now, you're saved, right? I say, I'm born again. I say, you know how to get saved? Because you got saved, right? You know the Romans Road or the Hebrews Road or the John Road. You know all those things? How they say, yeah, I'm a sinner. There's a penalty for my sin.
Christ died for my sins. I called out to God to save me, and he did it. Wow. I says, you've got enough to tell a lost person out there how to get saved. And come along. You'll learn as we go along. And so the fear of doing that, or they get tongue-tied, some people aren't people. They go out there, they can't talk to people, they can't talk to strangers. And I always try to encourage them, as I'll encourage everybody, it's not us. Okay, it's not us. Again, you've got to ask God to give you the abilities and the power for soul winning. Okay, don't go in your own power. You'll be like, in Acts, I think 19, the seven sons of Sceva, they were exorcists. And they decided that they were going to go out there and starting at verse 13 of Acts 19. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, the exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? That's when you go out there and you try to do something in the power of using God's name, and you're not a Christian. Okay? Or you're not letting God do the work through you. And the evil spirit said, Jesus, I know Paul, I know, but who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Remember, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. In spite of who we are, in spite of ourselves, our old sinly flesh that we carry around, if we ask God to use us, he will. He uses the weak things of the world. Okay? That's what he wants to use. God is never concerned about your ability. He is only concerned about your availability. Okay? Okay, he'll equip you. And he'll use you. But just be available and be ready to do it. Okay? There is nobody in this room. I don't know the inner heart of it. Everybody in, nobody. I don't know anybody's heart. God knows your heart. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I'll guarantee this, there's nobody in this room that's not outfitted for soul winning. That's just a simple fact. If you follow along the things that the Bible is telling you and trust God to do it, go in the power of God. And again, tie off that last one, the fear of not knowing how to present Christ. People think that, you know, Christians are afraid that he cannot pull out the Bibles. And you know, you may be getting a little good at it. I tell folks on the show, if you get a Bible, sometimes I go a little quick moving around the Bible. I say, that's why it's good to have a notepad. Write the scripture verses. I tell people on the radio, you can always go and read them later. And you move it around. But if you're a new Christian, you can have a hard time maybe moving around. So in that case, put some bookmarks in there. If you're going out soul winning, you only need four or five verses. Put some bookmarks in your New Testament so you can open to where it is, and get a larger print New Testament and highlight it. So when you open to that page, you can plainly see. And when you know, I always tell the folks, you know what, they'll say, oh, you're just making that up. My wife used to say that sometimes, you're just making that up. My stepfather used to say that, you're just making that up. You tell my brother that. But when folks say that, you're just making that up. You take your book and you say, hey, read that for yourself right there. What's that say? Read that for me. And they say, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, I'm not saying that. The Bible's saying that. Right? And then what's that say right there? And he said, he reads it again. He looks at it. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Oh, the Bible's saying Christ died for us. I didn't say that. The Bible's saying that. And then he said, what about, you know, I got to go to confession. I got to do penance or works. Then you go to Romans 10:13 and say, what did that say? Whoever shall call upon us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, shall be saved. And you say, you've got to show them out of the book, because people will more likely believe it when they read it for themselves. Brian does that. We're there and we're witnessing to somebody in the street. He's quick. He opens that backpack up and he's got that Bible and he's showing them right out of the book. Okay, he does that. And it's very important, because when they see it for themselves, they'll realize it's not you saying that. And you know what? Then people get out there talking, and then this unsaved person gets them taken in another direction. As Pastor James said in the first session, don't go there talking about you know, the benefits of quitting smoking, or how God's grace works around all this stuff, and you know, this, stay with the facts, stay with the gospel. And if you stay with that, it says the fear of not knowing how to get a person saved will lead him right to the Lord. And Lori brought this up previously as well. You're out there putting this stuff out there, and they may not get saved for weeks down the road, but you are merely sowing the seed, like in the